Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, welcome to church, everyone. Welcome to Mother's Day. And it is a really amazing day where we get to honour our mums. And we honour them on one day. Yes, a special Mother's Day, but we honour you mums for everything that you do for 365 days, for however many years we've been alive. And a mother never ceases to be a mother, am I right? Yeah, it's good. So for mums, you know, I know there's a lot of ladies here and we've got kids in church today, yeah? We've got kids in church, so we're going to need to like turn up our hearing a little bit more because the kids are here. But we have mums and we have biological mums, but we also have mums in a spiritual sense and we want to talk about that a little bit today. And if you're one of those mums and you've taken care of children or you see yourself as a leader over many, then this is for you as well. So, Sky, have you got the clicker? Can I have that, please? That'd be great. Who is that for you? Who is that mum for you? We've all had someone in our lives that's either been our real mum or someone in our lives. And I'm privileged enough to have both my mother in church today, which is amazing, and my mother-in-law is here as well, which is great, and my grandma is right here in church as well, which is really awesome. And they had to deal with this little guy. Come on, cue the R. My mom and me being born, and then I turned into this little chunky monkey. I don't know what I'm looking at there. Yes, the Speedos at the beach. Love it. Yeah, the token photo in the bath. Yes. When I showed these school photos to Cass, she's like, oh, babe, can you show those? You're not in Oxley College school uniform. But actually, that one on the right there is the badge says Life Christian Academy. So, like back in, that's before Oxley College, Life Christian Academy. Did you ever have a dress up that your mum put you into that you just didn't want to be in? This was it for me. A Christmas tree, right? Did you not get that? A Christmas tree. Yay. So good. And then this was me at one of our school plays. And I don't know why, but somebody put makeup on me, I think, as well. So I don't know, Mum. Makeup, please. I'm not sure. But kids, did you? It went on. And look, we got a bit older and we went through the 90s. Yeah. And then you like the tie cam, do you? Yeah, the tie's all right. It's what we did back then, and then at my wedding, which was wonderful. But kids, did you write a Mother's Day card for your mum today? Yes? Are there any kids? Yes? I wrote one for my mum last year, and this was it. I love you, Mum. I had a real crack. This year, I just left it behind. My wife will do it for me this year, which is great. And the card to Mum, happy birthday from love from Dad, Andrew and Joth. And I was looking at this because I've drawn Dad there on the right with the big pink legs. I'm not sure about that. Joth is up the top flying a green plane, I think, propeller plane. And then I dug a hole under Dad and it looks like that's going to collapse sometime soon. So I don't know why, what I was thinking about that. And also presents. Oh, no, I've got one more. Dear Mummy, have a lovely sleep. I love you lots. See you in the morning. Lots and lots of love from Andrew. Oh, I know. Thanks. Thanks, Andrew. You can take those down. So I want to ask a couple of kids, and I'm coming over here. I want to ask what you bought your mum for Mother's Day. What did you guys buy Mum for Mother's Day?
Stuff.
Any specific stuff?
No.
No? What about sister?
A candle.
Who else got a candle for Mum? Yes, very good, very good. All right, I want someone else. What did you guys buy for Mum for Mother's Day?
A notebook.
A notebook? Any other notebooks around? Yes, some notebooks, very good. And what about you guys? What did you get Mum for Mother's Day?
A box.
A box? What did the box have in it?
The jewelry box.
Yeah. Ah. A jewelry box. Very good. A jewelry box or whatever you feel like doing it. I asked my mum this week, Mum, what was the weirdest present we ever got you? And because we grew up in it was a house of boys, and every 2 or 3 years, I think, the foot spa came through, and then the bath salts came through, the slippers, there was a few slippers that went around. I'm sure a notepad and a candle were in there as well. And I asked, what was the worst present? And she said, 1 year you got me like carob chocolate. And then she said, I think Dad told you to get it because I thought I was trying to be healthy. And so we went out and bought carob chocolate. I didn't even know what carob chocolate was this week. I'd heard of it. But I Googled it, and you know what showed up? Dog treats. So I can understand why that wasn't probably the best present. But I asked her also what was the best present we did, and she said, breakfast in bed with muesli and a magazine and some juice. And I didn't remember that actually. And she, I said, when did that happen? And she said, I was after you both had girlfriends. So we knew what we were doing. But isn't it true that it's not until we have our own children that we understand maybe what a pain we might have been growing up, or just how much work our mums do for us when we're growing up? There was a story we wrote about in a Mother's Day song a couple of years ago, and one that I unfortunately made my mum cry in this story. And I was about probably 19 years old, and I decided as a wise 19-year-old that it would be a good idea to get a piece of metal put in my eyebrow. And so I did. I went and got an eyebrow piercing, and it was great. And I went over to my grandpa and Gemma's house, and grandpa was like, oh, just as soon as he saw it. I didn't know how it would go down, and I got home to mum, and she was in bed, I think, and I went in and said, hey, and she was just sobbing. She was just crying. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, what? And she said, but Andrew, you're such a nice boy. So I'm sorry for that, mum, but I know you've forgiven me. I went downstairs and, like a good boy, like the good boy that I was, took it out, never put it back in again. But apart from all of that fun stuff, and apart from the cleaning and the washing and the cooking and the caring and all the stuff that my mum did for my brother and I, the thing that stands out to me today as the number one gift that my mum gave me while growing up was an example of what it's like to put Jesus as number one in your life. And I know that as parents, we grow up, and that's what we want to do for our kids as well. We want to set an example for our kids of what it's like to put Jesus as number one in our lives. And for me, it was from coming downstairs for breakfast in the morning and seeing the Bible open most mornings, for us praying together a family, or setting an example here with our service to church. I valued and still value the wise woman of God that my mum is. And I know there are a lot of people in church today that you've grown up in a Christian home, and you would really look back on that and value that time that you had. But I understand also that not all of us have grown up in that way. And you might be here today and you didn't grow up in a Christian home, but you found God later in life. You have an opportunity still to be able to put into those people underneath us, to be able to serve even in children's ministry or something like that, to be able to put that motherly instinct and those motherly activities in a Christ-like manner to those underneath us. And it is a major responsibility we have raising our children. In Psalm, they're called a heritage from the Lord, the fruit of a womb, a reward. And although we have that responsibility today, we want to talk about the fact that we are not perfect. Parents, am I right? We are not perfect. Even the mums, we're not perfect. We sometimes get things wrong. But I'm not going to talk about that. But my wife is going to talk about that. So let's welcome Cass as she comes and shares with us this morning.
Thanks, Bay. Can we ever be truly prepared for what lies ahead? And is there any mum in the whole entire world who has smashed motherhood out of the park and feels like she's just got this under control? Surely it's not possible. I know this kid here looks like he's living the dream and everything's great, but I don't think it's possible for us. There's too many things that are out of our control that we can't anticipate. And even if we're in the right frame of mind to deal with it, we can't be in the right frame of mind and manage it perfectly every single time. But it's a pretty strong desire that we have to get it right, because the role of the mum is taking care of this tiny little person, and it's a really big responsibility. As parents, we can read all the books about birth, about parenting, about toilet training, about the latest articles on resilience, how to raise boys, how to build self-worth and respect. But we get stumped at the starting line and we're asking ourselves, how do I get this child to sleep? You're about ready to throw in the towel, then praise the Lord, your baby smiles at you for the first time. It's likely to be flatulence, but you take it anyway. And that's only in the first couple of weeks of being a mum. I still have the teenage years ahead, and I don't even know how I'm going to deal when my kids move out of home and I don't have to think about every single need that they might have. Having children has really challenged your confidence, because you question your ability to make good decisions and about the skills that you might have as well. And it's new and uncharted, and you've never been down this part of the life before. And unfortunately, as females, I don't think we stop there. It's not just about a reflection of what we think our skills are at. We take it personal, and we think us as a failure when we don't get it right, not just our skills. It's a massive change in our lives becoming mum, which feels funny for me to say that I'm a mum sometimes, because I think I struggle even to think I'm an adult, let alone a mum. And I remember this particular moment in my life when I realised what it might be like to be an adult. I was about 16, and it was the first time mum had let me go to Eastland Shopping Centre by myself. And that was pretty big at the 16, because at 16, you've got your security blanket of your friends. You do everything with your friends. And I remember walking around the shops and thinking, who might see me? Are they going to think I'm a loner? But as I continued to walk around, it was like, actually, I can do this. I can be by myself. I don't need anyone else. I could be an adult. And I remember it. It's such a small moment, but it's so clear for me. I remember thinking, I have the confidence to actually go out and do something by myself. Which is funny now, because I'm like, please let me go to the shops by myself without children. I think there's two major things that can really rock you when you become a parent. And one, that's the confidence, believing that you're not going to screw your kids up. And it's the other is comparisons. And I think these two are so tightly meshed together. It's a really strong relationship. And I don't think it's exclusive just to when you become a parent either. I think it's really for all of us. And it's not really about the comparison either. It's about the thoughts about the comparisons that we make that can take us to some pretty dodgy places. We can become envious or jealous. We can fantasize about the grass being greener on the other side. We can worry or catastrophize of all the things that we feel like we're lacking, and neither of which are really helpful. In 2 Samuel 11, King David's jealous fantasies led him to abusing his power. He slept with another man's wife, and to cover up, he also got her pregnant, and then for fear of being exposed for his wicked behavior and his shame, he tried to hide behind this cover-up, which ended up being murderous. And the Bible often warns us about the fruit of jealousy and envy. In Proverbs 14:30, it says, a tranquil heart gives life, but envy will make your bones rot. And for James 3:16, it says, for where jealousy and self-ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. And let's think about Joseph and his brothers. They became jealous of him and his relationship with his father, and they didn't like the idea of his dream about him having authority over them as well, and they planned to kill him too. Comparisons can lead to jealousy and envy, and that's the desire for something you've seen happen for someone else. But then you also have this resentment that it's happening for them and not for you. And the resentment that you hold will then determine your thoughts and your actions. Those Bible examples might sound extreme, and you think, how did they get to murder? Like, that was pretty quick. But if left unchecked, you might start comparing the small things and they just gradually get bigger and bigger. I remember when I first moved out of home, I would compare what I did to my mum or Andy's mum, how much time she spent cleaning, telling us to pick up stuff, to put it away. And then I was like, I'll compare with that and I'll go my own way. And I'll try some different methods of cleaning. And I think one of the things that I thought was a really good idea or maybe even, ta-da. Why did my mum do all this hard work? And now my time, I think you'd probably be jealous of me now because a lot of my time is spent on a Saturday night. I know you're jealous. Don't be jealous, guys. I'm trying to teach you otherwise. But at the end, we realise what our mums did and how they did is probably one of the best ways of doing it. Comparisons can obviously change over time. And for me at this point of our journey, I might compare the pram that I have with someone else. Oh, your child's already walking. Oh, you've gone back to work. Oh, you let him have that girlfriend. Ah. Oh, they got into that uni course. You bought them a car. We're at this point in my journey. There's this one question that you hear so often. And sometimes you can feel that tension rise in the room. And it's, is your baby sleeping through the night? You can feel like an utter failure and screaming in your head thinking, we aren't even sleeping any time of the day, let alone through the night. But you're smiling on the outside and you just shake your head and say, no, not yet. A mother can be actually closer to committing murder than you think. She's sleep deprived, she has no frontal brain connected at the moment, and she's quite impulsive. So you need to be careful, all right? And don't get me wrong, I think a mother's group is this beautiful place where you often find a lot of people find it as really not judgmental and the most supportive place that they have, but it is the place where you often make so many comparisons. I think the thing that makes it tricky is that you're surrounded by people who are going through almost exactly the same thing as you are at exactly the same time as you are, and there's not often an opportunity where you can, you know, make so many comparisons so often. So it's pretty tempting to make the comparisons, but is it actually helpful for us to do? I don't think they're necessarily bad. If I'm comparing the similarities of how you might get stains out of a white school shirt or how you get your child off to sleep, can actually be helpful for me because it's a moment of learning, it's a moment of improvement, it's a moment of building my confidence. But if you're having that conversation and how you hear it is, wow, I have no idea of how to clean a shirt. Why didn't my mum ever teach me how to clean white shirts? Or your baby sleeps and mine isn't. You're loving this mother role and I feel like it's the hardest thing in the world. Then my emotions and my thoughts have run away. Envy, jealousy and shame has put me in a pretty bad place. It can rock us to our core, and what I mean by our core, it's our self-worth and our identity. And if this is something that I have been able to experience in only my 6 short years of being a parent, I'm sure it's something for all of us. So what I really wanted to share with you is 2 things that I think have helped me not go down these paths. First is that your walk with God counts the most. On aeroplanes, it sort of sucks, but when you read the words, the truth is simple. It says, mums, you need to put on your oxygen masks before you fit them to your children. How can we support our kids if our lives are falling apart? How can we set a good example for them about their relationship with God if we don't even show them that we have one at all? It's very easy to throw yourself into parenting and to throw yourself or your work or your study. It's not just parenting. And then you only focus on that one aspect. and just neglect all of the other bits. But you have permission. God wants you to focus on growing, which will in turn benefit your children and those people around you. I can't go past that scripture that says, seek first the kingdom of God. He wants you to seek him first, and all of those other things fall into place. And secondly is knowing what God says about you. He doesn't see you as a failure. He doesn't see you as stuffing up your children. Even if you didn't change one thing in your life, he still so strongly desires you exactly how you are and loves you so much. He's not only chosen you to be in a relationship with him, he's chosen you to be parents of these children. Not someone else, not in a different time in your life, not when you've read everything that there is to know about parenting or gotten PhDs in all things children. Not once you've fixed everything in your life and then you think, now I'm ready to be able to help someone else. It's for now. He loves you. He wants to be with you. He wants you to grow, and he wants you to help you grow others as well. Thanks.
Thanks. That was great. Church, we're going to sing a song in a moment, but just before we do that, as we were preparing for this morning, I was thinking, praying about what God wanted us to share. We try to make our Mother's Day and our Father's Day services a bit of fun and a bit lighthearted, and it's great. And while we do that, I really sense God wanted to do a work in specifically mothers, but everyone's hearts here this morning. Mothers both in the biological sense and in a spiritual sense as well. And it's often easy for us, as Cass sort of detailed there, to feel like failures, to feel like we just don't live up to these standards that are around us, and especially as mums. And I know that mums just can really carry that when it feels like they've failed in any way when it comes to growing their children, that it can really weigh heavily on you. Perhaps this morning you're here and you're here in church and you don't know Jesus on a personal level. Perhaps you've come with someone, with family members today, and you're thinking, oh, Jesus, I don't know if I really need him at the moment. Is this part of my life that I need to maybe say yes to? Well, I want to encourage you that we can't do life without him. We can't. There are so many things in life that will challenge you and that you'll end up feeling a failure in some way. But Jesus doesn't say that about us. He does not call you a failure. And for mums specifically, you may have looked at yourself and you may have looked at your kids and blamed yourself for what they are doing or for the decisions that they're making. But I want you to know today that that's a lie. That every bad decision your child makes is not an indicator that you have failed as a parent. It is not. At the end of the day, each person is responsible for the choices that they make themselves. And God looks at the heart. Thankfully, God looks at the heart. And he sees yours also. Not just your kids. He sees your heart as mum also. As Cass said at the end of her talk, we need to remember what God says about us. He doesn't call you a failure. He says that you're valuable. He says that he knows the number of hairs on your head. He says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He says that you are a child of his. He has shown his love for you by sending his one and only son to die for you, that you may again have relationship with him. And you may not think you're worthy of that, but he says you are. God says you are. Every single person, God says you are worthy. You are worthy of his love. Romans 8:1 says this: there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And I'd like to pray for any feeling of guilt or condemnation for parents in this place today to be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit, to bring peace to your mind with regard to the children that are in or under your care, for truth to reign in your life and for lies to be thrown down under your feet. that you would truly believe what your Heavenly Father says about you. In John 8, Jesus says this. He was speaking with some believers about being set free from sin or bondage in their lives. And he says these simple words in verse 32. He says, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And a few verses later in verse 36, he says this. "So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." So if the Son sets you free, not you will be free maybe, not you might be free, but you will be free indeed. He makes the point of emphasizing that you will be free indeed. The Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So let's believe that. Let's walk in that freedom as we go this morning. Let's close our eyes. We're going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song about that very truth. Father God, I thank you so much for our mums. I thank you that you have blessed us, Lord God, to be able to be parents over children. And Lord, I pray for any parent, specifically any mum that is here today, that is feeling that weight, that burden of failure in any way. Lord Jesus, that right now they would know the truth of what you say about them, that you have not called them failure, but you have called them a child of yours, Lord Jesus. Father, I pray that you would just overwhelm them with your presence and your love for them, Father God. Yes, you care about their children all the same, Lord God, but for right now, it is them, Lord God, that you want to put your hand upon. So, Father, for any mothers, Lord Jesus, that they need a touch from you, I pray that you would touch them right now in the name of Jesus.